Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Dave, I'm going to start off the scripture reading. You ready for this? In 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting around verse 6, it says, or verse 5, it says, "Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps and string instruments, tambourines, on sistrums and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor," now remember the story, they were carrying the ark, they threw it up on an ox cart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they were flying along, high speed. This is fantastic. Bring the ark of God back to Jerusalem, wasn't it? Yes. It says, "When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God." This is wild, Dave, because they weren't doing it right. And we skip on a little bit and we see what God's plan was to properly bring the ark. It says, verse 13, "And so was then, when those bearing the ark of the Lord," this is the correct way, you ready? "When they'd gone 6 paces," okay? Remember that, 6 paces. "Then he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep." And it goes on. So the wild thing, Dave, is...
Every
is
6 paces.
6 paces.
And then another one 6 paces further on.
Yeah.
All the way to Jerusalem.
Yeah. Well, do the maths. It was a few miles, I bet. How many paces in a... How many sets of 6 paces in a mile? I'd say quite a lot. But so it was like a continuous stream of blood, I'd say.
So they had their own beef mountain back in, back in Israel.
That's right,
state.
Yeah.
And, goodness.
So here they were going forward with the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant, and if they were to look behind them, they'd see blood all the way.
Yeah,
it's like their journey was covered by blood.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that prophetic about us as believers in Jesus?
It's prophetic about us as believers, and it's also prophetic about the church, I believe.
If
prophetic.
The church is to go forward the right way.
Yeah.
And not
yeah.
get struck down.
Well, you know, not be the vessel of death, you know, rather than life.
Death to who?
Death to the members and the community and all creation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all creation is waiting to see the sons of God come into their own.
That's right. You were telling me something about the Barna Project. You did some research.
Oh, it's terrible. It's absolutely awful.
Yeah.
That the perception... I got this on Wayne Jacobson's website.
Right.
You can see it there if you want. But as far as I remember, it's that the perception that people have of Christians is that they are much more similar to the Pharisees than they are to Jesus. That's the perception that people have.
Is that
of
the
Christians.
Reality?
Well, that's
or just a perception.
Well,
well
in terms of
see, because...
in terms of how that affects people and how they view Christianity, perception is what counts.
True, but sometimes whatever you do, you can't. You may always be misread, but maybe I'm wrong in saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm taking the wind out of your sails. I understand your point, Dave. You're saying that.
But I mean, I was kind of stopped because what I was really taken with was the scripture that you were reading there. You know, in relation to ourselves, that because I remember being in Bangladesh as a very young man,
right.
And during the time of the feast of Eid, I think it was, and where people were slaughtering animals left, right, and centre, and
right.
I saw. Cattle being slaughtered by hand, you know, having their throat slit, and desperate business.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the amount of mess that that makes.
Amount of blood.
I mean, the amount of blood, it goes like yards in every direction.
Wow.
And, you know, what these guys would have seen looking back would be not just blobs of blood along the way.
Mm.
It would have been one continuous river of blood.
Wow.
And it just seemed to me that, you know, those who carry the Ark of the Lord, the presence of God, will have their lives covered by the blood of Jesus every step of the way. So, you know, sometimes we think that we come to the cross and we're washed in the blood and we're healed and we're forgiven and we're born again and we get a new start.
And
that's it then.
And we forget about the blood and we go off living like a rebel. Yeah.
Well, you know, very often what happens is that people forget about the blood, but they don't go off to live like a rebel. They go off to live like a good Christian. And then the first time they trip up, they don't know what to do. They think that they have blown it. You know, they think that they're lost again. Or maybe, you know, they might feel, well, you know, maybe God will let me off this time.
Mm.
But they don't realize that what God has provided for us as Christians is the blood for every day, for every moment. That, you know, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints before the throne of God. What's he praying? He's praying, you know, Father, for David, the blood, right now, the blood.
Do you see, on the one hand, there's God is holy God and God's loving God. And I use this in evangelism a lot in talking to people. I you know, it's good to talk about the love of God, and it's very important for broken people to understand and hear about this. But never forget that God is holy God.
Yes.
And the two are reconciled in the cross with the blood of Jesus, because God showed, we have it in John 3:16, perfectly framed. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. So if you want to really put an amplified version of that verse, it says that God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. So take the other side of that coin. Don't believe in Jesus, you will perish. Do you see? And but you will not perish if your faith is in Jesus, because the price of your sin and my sin was taken on the shoulders of Jesus. The Father judged the Son, and he was pleased to crush him because of that. It is the most sobering thing, but it's the most amazing thing too, is that we have forgiveness.
Yes.
Because you can't have a rapist going on into the courtroom and the judge feels sorry for him. He says, ah, look, you know, I forgive you. Go home. That judge will be fired, you know, rightly so. Because there's a price in the crime.
Yes.
You know, but the point is, we've broken the law. We deserve the price, but no, he gets it. So we walk in his forgiveness. We walk in his life.
Yeah.
We walk under his blood.
Yeah.
It's powerful, it really is.
That is powerful.
And it's liberating, because we're not in the relationship with God. You know, we're it's an ongoing thing. You know, like you were saying, if you don't blow it and you've lost it all forever because you had a bad day and you did something wrong, you know. You come back, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
You know, sin isn't our destiny. It's not our normal behavior. But, you know, there is provision for its forgiveness.
That's right.
On the journey.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fantastic.
So cool.
And then, you know, the other bit about it was, I was thinking about the image of, you know, the ark being brought back to Jerusalem, because, you know, I'm always kind of sensitive to the idea of the presence of God coming back to Jerusalem, because that's an image of the glory of God coming in the church. And you could see these guys were all hot foot to get the ark back to Jerusalem. You know, and it didn't matter how, it just had to be done.
Yeah.
And God said in prophetically, well, that's the way of death. You know, the end does not justify the means. That the glory of God is coming to the church, but it won't happen by any own means. It won't happen by man wanting it as soon as possible.
Happen by my design, my way.
Which is when the church walks in the revelation of our need for the blood all the time.
Yeah. And yet, Dave, in amongst Christians, you know, a lot of people would understand and things were saying to some degree.
Yeah.
Outside of people who've yet to be born again and don't yet know Jesus, this is like so strange. That, you know, they cannot understand that. I know God has to open the eyes and give people a revelation and understanding of the cross. But really, I ask people, I said, you've heard of the term the Lamb of God? They say, yes. And I say to them, do you know what it means? They say, no. They've no idea about the sacrifice being acceptable to the Father. You know, Jesus being right. The ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
And yet they'd regularly go into Mass or church and say, Lamb God, takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, without a concept of the price being paid through blood. The life is in the blood. So, in fact, do you know that? Do you know babies have their own bloodstream? Do you know that, Dave?
I heard that. I think you told me that.
There is a bit of a debate in Ireland about abortion at the moment, but I mean, you know, we're talking about individuals in there, you know. So I just thought it's interesting to mention that they have their own blood.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
But how is that to be remedied? You know, this perception that people have of the lack of perception that people have concerning how effective the blood of Jesus is to make us right with God. Because, you know, we look at this whole back to the Barna group and their research, and, you know, that they found that the perception that people have of the church, of Christians.
Yeah, see, I think, Dave, before people have an understanding of the cross, their vision of Christianity and born-again Christians and church and all this is that, oh, you holy Joes up there, you're living clean lives. You're not smoking, drinking and swearing.
But why do they have that perception?
Well, because
when we know in the church that we are still sinners.
Because, so, I don't know, it's just, first of all, they feel guilty because of their unclean lifestyle, right? So one sure way of feeling more guilty is to go and share a life with someone who's living clean. You know, I remember when I used to rent a flat years ago as a student, and you'd get a guy who moves in, he's messier than you, and you're like, you look very virtuous because you're a clean up a few things, you know. And then you get a guy who moves in who's a neat freak, who's perfectly, keeps everything perfectly clean. And guess what? You're the slob, you know, because you're not the same as him. I'm just saying relatively, people see, judge people by what they see. Well, and they say, well, you're not smoking, you're not cursing, you're not whatever. And they don't feel a power that they can be changed on the inside yet. They don't understand any of this.
Mm.
And they just think it's you trying really hard, making lots of resolutions and being very careful every day to not swear, not smoke, not drink.
And I know that that's a perception that people might have, but how come that doesn't get corrected?
Well, I don't know, Dave. Maybe because it does sometimes.
Well, sometimes it does. But the perception that people have just out there on the street is that Christians are more like the Pharisees in their self-righteousness than they are like Jesus in his love.
That's right.
How come that doesn't get corrected?
Well, sometimes they're right.
Yeah, that's what
I think.
And
there's the challenge.
Absolutely.
To not be a Pharisee, you know, is to love people.
Yeah.
And I think I think the foundation for loving people is, the first of all, you're secure yourself. If you are an insecure person, you're going to isolate yourself away from people who threaten you in any way.
Yeah.
And but if you're the only way to be truly secure is have your security based in God, not in yourself. Yeah. You see. So if you know who you are, and same way Jesus knew who he was, he didn't seek the approval of man.
Mm.
You know. So you're you, by God's grace, can also be out there, not trying to be a man pleaser, not trying to run with all the fashions and, you know, be worldly popular that way. But, you know, you've got convictions and beliefs in relationship with God, okay, and you're secure. Mm. Now you're in a position to love vulnerable people, to love difficult people, to love unloved people, mm. all these things, mm. because you're not looking for something back.
Mm.
And there's plenty of people out there who are really difficult people.
Oh, yeah.
Difficult people to be friends with, difficult people to love. You know,
are these in the church now, or
no? I'm talking about generally out there.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
And
okay.
I'm just, well, maybe in the church too. But I'm saying the challenge is to love these people because mm. they're rejected and abandoned by everybody else. You know,
right.
and Jesus went to these people and loved them and accepted them and embraced them. You know,
yeah.
and got a lot of stick for it. But you know what? It broke their hearts. It changed people.
Yeah,
because suddenly they're. Do you know what's in my mind, Dave? In Ireland, there's so much suicide and depression going on. You know, I'm mindful of every night I walk by in the park and give a nodding hello to. That might be the only friendly smile they get that day.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And that really encourages me to, not just to fake it up or anything, but just be genuine. And even people you don't know, just you casually give them a nod or say, talk about the weather or something, you know. But it's a sense of you know, caring a little bit about them.
Mm.
You know, mm. and old people will tell you this. The smallest thing in terms of a visit or an outreach, you know, hello to them or anything, is a huge thing because
yeah.
they're living in a world of huge loneliness.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've gone over our time this week. But anyway, thanks for listening to Pilgrim Talk. And tune in next time. We've absolutely no idea what's next. Because the wind blows where it wills. We don't know where it's coming from, where it's going. It says in John 3. So this is Anthony Brabison saying goodbye.
David O'Rourke, God bless you.